Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace. My name's Brianna Larimer, business trainer and consultant with Missouri Training Institute. And with you today, you have the MTI team, Director Dewey Thompson and Associate Director Ray Lyon. And today we're talking about what we're trying to balance. And when you're looking at that, you're probably going, huh? Well, really, it comes down to work-life balance, right? That seems to be a hot topic. And, you know, Ray, when I started with you all, one of the things I always thought work-life balance was based on was time, trying to balance time, right? And tell me why that shouldn't be what we're trying to balance.
Well, a lot of times we do think of that. When we think about work-life balance, we think giving time to equal parts, right? Equal parts to our work, equal parts to our life and all of the things that go on to life. But we can't do it from the perspective of time, because time is finite, right? We only have so much of it. And that equation doesn't work no matter what. We're not set up like that. Our society is not set up like that. I mean, we have a certain number of hours that we spend at work. We have a certain number of hours that we try to sleep. And you add those things up and you already don't have enough hours to do everything else in your life that you have to do. So right there, you feel fail, right? And so we have to get out of our heads that time and equal amounts of time, or even effort, equal amounts of effort are given to both sides of that equation. I think when we just shift our thinking about balancing time to balancing fun or balancing enjoyment with achievement. So thinking about all of the things that you make your world up of, work being one of them, whatever it is that you do for a vocation, and the other parts of your life. So your friendships, your self-care activities, whether you go to the gym or you like to read, or maybe you hike, whatever family responsibilities you have. So if it's your children or a significant other, you know, if it's just friends going to a, you know, on a coffee date. If you think about what do I do within those areas of my life where I can achieve, and when do I in those areas of my life also enjoy, and balance those things. So I work, hopefully I'm enjoying it, but I also hope to achieve in work, learn something new, maybe get promoted, grow my learning about what it is that I do, but I achieve and I earn money. And then I financially, how am I enjoying my money, but how am I letting my money also achieve? And so balancing achievement and enjoyment is endless, where time is finite. So shifting our thinking a little bit, I think, helps us kind of seek that calm, or what is the balance that we're actually trying to get.
Yeah. And I think when you talk about this idea of time, and you mentioned it a little bit, you know, you almost set yourself up to fail when you're focused on the clock. So I think this was a pretty profound way of looking at it when I joined MTI and I started learning this through you, because it truly opens up the control that we have over our lives. And I think that in a lot of ways, when we feel out of control, that's what causes the panic, the anxiety, the depression in a lot of ways, or just that feeling of too much on your shoulders.
Right.
Regaining that control can certainly be empowering. Dewey, thinking about your life, what are some ways in which this plays out in your life?
Well, it is, you know, I think oftentimes when I get stressed out, trying to manage this balance between life and work, I think oftentimes it's because I haven't really thought about what my priorities priorities really are. Hmm. You know, there's an old saying out there that the things that matter the most should never be at the things that matter the least. And so, you know, really trying to understand exactly what it is I'm trying to achieve, as Ray said, as well as, you know, what are those things that really do bring me a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, enjoyment, fulfillment. Then it's about trying to certainly identify what those priorities are. You know, I think sometimes we have so much that hits us all the time. You know, we got additional due dates that people put on us as maybe a leader. You got a project that's due, or something doesn't necessarily work out, so we have to spend more time, you know, bringing it up to speed or whatever it may be. And if we're not careful, those priorities can kind of get the better of us, and you need to be the one in control of your priorities. You know, some people say, well, I didn't even know what my priorities are. You know, it's like, well, I think the best thing you could do there is to look to where you're spending your time, because wherever it is that you're spending your time, that is probably what you have chosen. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily have chosen it in a very deliberate way, but you did make a choice about it. And so that's what I feel, is that oftentimes it's about understanding what your true priorities really are.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because those things might be choosing you.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I think that's where that out of control, overwhelmed feeling is. Because when you actually feel the most in control is when you are making those choices, right, when you are being intentional. And so back to Dewey's point, this idea of identifying your priorities, it's time maybe, if you have that out of control, overwhelmed feeling, it's probably time to sit down and choose those things intentionally. Don't let them choose you, like Dewey was talking about. You know, maybe those things are, that's why you're feeling that overwhelming feeling, because somewhere, you know, those things are controlling you and you're not controlling them. And so really going back to the drawing board and said, wait a minute, these are the most important things in my life. These are the boundaries that I'm going to draw. And we teach people how to treat us. Mm-hmm. So if we are saying yes to everything, right, and not living within those values or within those priorities that he was talking about, and not making those intentional choices, then we've kind of done it to ourselves, right? Because we do feel the most in control when we're the ones driving that car, when we know, oh, we're going to turn up ahead, you know, and which direction are we going to turn? And when are we going to turn? That's when we feel the most in control. It's not always a one for one either. You know, sometimes you're in a state of achievement and, you know, they're sometimes not that fun. Right. It's offsetting. And absolutely, so you've got to then make that intentional choice. I need to go do something for fun. You know, you're not always going to find fun and achievement in the exact same activity. And so that's when the balance, that's when you got to stop, look up, say, okay, it's time to take a break and to go do something. Well,
you know, yeah, I mean, I've got a great example of this. You know, there was a time in my life where I was doing a lot of national travel. I was on the road. People say, oh, you travel for your job. How exciting. You know, well, if you've ever done that, you usually see the inside of a cab, an airport, a hotel room, or a conference room, and then you're flying off to the next location. So I did this for about 2-3 years. And I remember one time, this balance, I was just not achieving it. After realizing it, I was spending about 3 weeks out of every month on the road. And that came at a very, very high cost to my personal relationships. It came at a high cost to my family. But, you know, I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, right? I thought I was out there, you know, taking care of the family. I thought I was working hard to work my way up the corporate ladder. And it wasn't until one time I was in an airport, I can't even remember what city I was in, and I just felt this overwhelming sense of being so out of balance. And it was at that moment where I sat down and I started just really to identify what really are my priorities. Yeah. And I realized that I had put a lot of things ahead of the priorities or the things that I really wanted to achieve and enjoy ahead of those things. And so you've got to be in the driver's seat. You have to be the one to kind of make those choices.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because I certainly think that it also changes at different times in our lives. So the thing that maybe we found achievement or enjoyment in at one point is not the same now. Prior to my career at MTI, I worked at the police department, and part of my responsibilities was to be on call to go out to handle crisis communication at scenes. And I'd get called out at all hours of the night. And at that time in my life, did I love it? And at the time, it was just my husband and I. And it worked. It worked for us. Now, I couldn't even imagine getting called at 2 o'clock in the morning because you wake my baby and we're going to rumble. Yeah. But I think that truly we have to recognize and be okay with the fact that what was then may not be now true now.
Absolutely. You know, stage and age, what jazzed you up then, you know, that sense of achievement or what drives that sense of achievement and what you find fun in will change, right? What I was doing as a 20 something for fun, I look back on now, I was like, oh no, you know, no. But I think if you're really thinking about sitting down, like Dewey was talking about, and establishing that area of balance. You know, I want to give you some tips. There's areas to think about specifically. If you're really trying to create that fun and achievement in different areas, and one of them would be, you know, physically, you know, what are you doing for yourself in physical, you know, for achievement and for fun? You know, I joined an adult league kickball team. I'm horrible, but for nothing else than every Sunday to get out and go do something physically. It forces me to stretch. It forces me to run however many feet between home and first base. I never get, you know, on base, but I'm so slow. But, it, you know, I at least do something to stay physical. You know, there's an area of relationships, really thinking about how healthy are my relationships? When's the last time I saw my friends? What do I do? What about my family? So every Wednesday night, you know, I have dinner with my kids, you know, and again, it's a scheduled thing. It gets me out. I'm focused on that. I make sure I know what's going on in their life. So there's an area of relationships. Mental is another category, and not just, you know, mental wellness, but am I learning anything? Do I have a hobby? Am I reading? What am I reading? Is it all fiction? Is there nonfiction that's going on in there? And then just kind of the soul, the wellness. When I think about, you know, if you want to call it spirituality, there's formal, you know, that can go into that, or there's just, you know, sitting beside water or nature or on the back of a Harley Davidson, whatever kind of gets you back to center. So if this idea is something you want to start a journey on, maybe think about it categorically, right? And I also think there's a financial category in there. How am I going to have fun with my money? But how am I also going to allow money to help me achieve, right? What's that goal that I have for my money? And right now at my stage and age, it's retirement. It's a little ways off, but boy, it's not as far off as it was, you know, another decade ago. But I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
You know, I think the financial stress that people experience is a big, big source of stress for folks. And so, again, it's not necessarily about achieving a specific type of goal, but how do you, like you said, how do you get your finances to work for you?
Yes.
You know, for your achievement as well as for your enjoyment. Yeah.
My neighbor came out the other day and just kind of flagged me down and to let me know, New Year's Day, we had an ambulance come to her house and she had fallen. And she flagged me down the other day and she said, hey, I keep an eye on him. And she said, hey, I want to let you know, I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And she said, that's why I've been falling. And she had had some memory issues. And she said, so we're going to be gone for the next couple of weeks. And if you'd keep an eye on the house, I said, absolutely. And she said, yeah, she goes, we're going to go to the Dominican Republic and start traveling more. We've, you know, been saving all this for trips. And she said, now we've got to do what we can do before this progresses too much. And I just thought, you know, they've been saving and now kind of the heat's on for them to experience this. Mm-hmm. And so again, achievement, but now's the time, right? The heat's on and they've got to go have their fun while she's still well enough to do that.
Too often when we talk about this idea of work-life balance, we really do just focus in on the job and home life and trying to balance those two. But there are all of those different categories that we really have to give time to. I think I've mentioned to you all before, my mentor is always getting on to me about especially the social piece of that, because I'm happy where I'm at right now. My relationship with my husband and at home and with my baby. But she goes, have you had time to invest in your tribe yet? And I'll tell you, talk about heat being on. You know, I had a breaking point not too long ago. We'd had some things going on in our family, and I sat down and I just needed a girlfriend to talk to. And I realized I hadn't talked to him all year. You know, and to no one's fault, but my own, you know, because we all control us. And so making sure that we are being intentional through those behaviors to invest in each of those areas. And, you know, I want to touch back on something that you both kind of mentioned earlier and talking about when you're setting these priorities, when you're identifying what it is, and you mentioned sometimes you have to establish boundaries, what you're willing to accept and what you're not willing to accept. For somebody who might have been willing to accept more than what they really want to accept, how would you encourage them, or what can they do to maybe start forming those boundaries?
For me, I have to identify how will I decline those things when they arise. So when I have a friend that's, you know, maybe needing something more than I'm willing to give, I have to know in my head, how will I decline that? What will I actually say to politely decline that request? And what typically works for me best, and again, I kind of, you know, finesse this a little bit depending on the request, I always say, oh gosh, thanks for thinking of me. I won't be able to attend that this time, you know, and I finesse that again, depending on the situation, but I always thank them. Thanks for thinking of me. You know, I won't be able to do that this time. And then I just stop talking.
Those are great tips, Ray. You know, I think in the workplace, we often get requests, right? Mm-hmm. You know, our bosses, our colleagues are coming to us. They're needing some help. They're needing some assistance. There's a new project coming up. And sometimes that's very difficult for people. They don't feel that they can say no to the boss, you know, and it's not to say that you're always going to be able to say no to the boss, but maybe it's a matter of, gosh, thanks for thinking of me at this time. I've got this already on my plate. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to help you with this, but help me figure out which of these other things might have to take a back seat right now. So oftentimes it's about negotiation, you know, with those colleagues or with those bosses. And again, but that requires some openness, that requires some truthfulness and some honesty about all the different priorities you might have on your plate right now.
Yeah.
But learning to say no is a very important tip in being able to balance or try to achieve this balance.
Right. And you have to know your capacity. You have to know your limits. And maybe, you know, in thinking of that from a work standpoint, Dewey, you know, a good one is really knowing what they're actually asking of you. Mm-hmm. Because your first reaction might be no, you know, like, oh, I need to say no. But maybe they're only needing a little bitty part of the project for your, you know, from you. And in which case it actually could be a yes. Or, you know, oh, thanks for thinking of me. I actually know that so-and-so is much better at that. And so a referral. So it made me think of a lot of things when you said that, Dewey, of ways to handle, you know, and it's not passing the buck, but maybe somebody really is better where you would struggle with that. Or even saying, you know what, I'd be happy to do that. I won't be able to get to it until next Thursday.
Right.
Are you going to need it before then? Because again, it's just knowing your capacity.
Right.
And then that person gets to make their choice. So again, it's them being in control of their project and knowing what they need. And you just being honest and truthful about it.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things, and this is actually twofold, but to help me with that, I had to give a visual representation. And I learned this in my previous career. My sergeant would come in, or I'd have other sergeants or other police officers would come in, and they'd want different things, different projects, you know, creative projects, marketing, any of those kinds of things. And so I started a whiteboard in my office, and it just listed out every single project I was working on and what the due dates were. And when someone would come into my office, I would actually have them, it was to their back when they'd walk in, but I'd have them, hey, can you turn around and look at that? Tell me where you would see this project fitting on that. I'll check with my supervisor and see if they see it the same way. You know, you can see now, though, how much I have going on. And sometimes they'd turn around and go, never mind, you know, walk right back out. And it was just that visual representation, as opposed to, because people don't know what you have going on. I think we expect them to know sometimes. You know, it's like we think that they should just know that you're busy, but you really sometimes have to give that visual representation.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you bring up too, Brianna, because, you know, I think oftentimes, especially when we're trying to influence up the chain of command, when, you know, we're trying to influence our leaders, we're trying to influence our supervisors, you know, if they don't know, they don't know, right? So, and I think that this can really grow your influence with them when you let them know of the accomplishments that you've been making.
You know, when we're thinking about balance, knowing when you're feeling out of balance. And I know, Dewey, you mentioned that earlier when you were talking about your travel and things like that. And I think that's really important. What are your symptoms when you're feeling out of balance? And dialing into, you know, the physical or the mental that's going on, and recognizing when it's time to say when. Mm-hmm. And I think for individuals, it's different what it looks like, what it feels like. So that self-awareness is really key for individuals about when you're feeling out of balance. You know, and if you've got somebody that's close to you, whether it's a workmate, you know, that sees you every single day and can say, hey, you need to take a break. Something's going on. And here's the thing, believe them when they say it. And don't just try to like gut it out and push through, because at some point you're actually doing detriment to yourself. Mm-hmm. And you might think that you're, you know, being productive and but honestly, the quality of your work, the quality of your relationships, all of those things start to deteriorate at some point. You get short tempered, you might, you know, which decreases the quality of your relationships. So if somebody's saying you need to take a break, you need to take a break, right? Don't be like, no, I got, you know, no, you need to take a break, right? And literally stop what you're doing, because whatever's happening right now doesn't need to be happening right now. So I think it's really important to know those symptoms for yourself before you get to the point where somebody's having to call you off. Right?
So what are those things for you, Brianna, that, you know, well, it's the indicators that Ray was talking about, right? Whether it's an emotional indicator, whether it's a physical indicator, yeah, a mental indicator, what are those things that you know, hey, I'm not in a very good balanced place?
Yeah, I think the biggest one for me is when I either cry more often than I normally would about small things, or I get angry more often than I normally would about small things. For whatever reason, those two seem to be the quick indicators that something's going on here. It's probably deeper than whatever this was that I either cried about or got angry about. I need to really step back and reflect.
Mine is, I notice that I'm in absolute silence. I don't drive with the radio on. That's when I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm processing so internal, which for you guys know, that's not me.
No,
because I'm an external processor. And so when I'm in absolute silence, that's an indicator that, woohoo, you know, so it's almost the opposite of me, that I go very internal. I don't turn on the TV at home. I don't go out, you know, and I become very internal. And that's when I'm like, oh, okay, something's needing to adjust, you know. What about you?
For me, I have a pretty bad habit of procrastinating. So when I feel overwhelmed, I it's almost like I don't know where to start. You know what I mean? Where's the beginning to try to climb this out of this and make this balance a little bit more what I'm looking for? So kind of when I don't know which way to go, and I get kind of paralyzed thinking about what's the first step, what's the second step, what's the third step? And then, you know, other people see it as procrastination. For me, it's just about not understanding, you know, the pathway that I should take to achieve more balance.
We can all kind of self-identify this, but one of my favorite things, and you kind of touched on this, was the idea of when someone kind of comes to you and says, hey, something seems off. And I appreciate that our team can do that. And I hope you can in your workplaces out there too. But the other responsibility I think we all have is to ask sometimes, you know, hey, how am I doing in the roles that we play? You know, how am I doing? So I do this with my husband occasionally. My family is one of my priorities. It's one thing that I highly value. And if I'm saying that, then I better certainly be living it out. But sometimes I'm just not sure. So I go to him and I say, how am I doing? how am I doing at being your wife? You know, and let me tell you, loaded questions sometimes, right? Yeah.
But I don't know if Dennis needs to answer that. Like, dude, you know.
No, but it works for us because he'll come in. He's like, well, you have seemed a little off this week. You know, it seems like you were upset a little bit more or you were short-tempered here. And then it allows that reflection process. Because truly, we can get in the hustle and bustle of life and not always realize when we are out of balance. And I think the sooner we catch it, the better off we are at trying to remedy it, as opposed to letting it go for such a long period of time and we just don't know where to start.
Yeah. So where do you go? So if he says, yeah, you know what, girl, you are a little out of balance, what do you do?
It's funny you asked that, because actually just recently I realized something was off and I needed some girl time, and I called up the girlfriends and I went out shopping. I like to spend money when I'm out of balance.
A little retail therapy.
We talked about finances being one of those areas that you need to think about balancing.
I'm enjoying it, Dewey, and I'm achieving new clothes at the same time.
Using the enjoyment of your achievement, right?
That's right.
Yep. I work so I can spend.
Yep. That's right.
Yep.
So I guess, you know, again, as we kind of wrap this particular podcast up, we hope that you all have gathered some great tips with this. This topic is ongoing. Everyone's going to take a personal journey on this. And so I just, any final thoughts on work-life balance?
Give yourself a break once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, give yourself a break and give others a break as well. Once in a while, they might be just as stressed out as you are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I would agree. You know, everybody deserves a little grace, mm-hmm. a little benefit of the doubt. That probably if they come to that point, it's probably not you, right? They're not there because of you, most likely. Yeah. You know, you got a chance, but, you know, you're right. Give yourself some grace. Tomorrow's a new day. Mm-hmm. And you can always start that wheel over.
Yeah. You can always hit the reset button, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in today to The Weekly Workplace, and we hope you'll check out some other episodes coming to you. Make sure that you subscribe to our podcast and your podcast player of choice to keep getting all of the new episodes each week. We hope that you all have a wonderful day and
go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.